Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when it comes to the new year, people are excited because it almost feels like you have a fresh start. New year, new you, right? I mean, you have social media influencers telling you that if you listen to them, then this is the year that you will be rich and famous. Commercials telling you that this is the year where you will lose that weight and gain that muscle. You have your workplace saying that this is the year where they will exceed all of their quota and expand. You have friends on social media who are boasting about their 2025 goals and resolutions. This is the year that they will get out of debt. This is the year that they will eat healthier. This is the year that they will break that addiction. This is the year that they will get that degree. And all those are all good things to do. But I notice that they all have something in common. They all relate to what you are ultimately going to do and accomplish with your life in the new year. That's important, right? Because we want to know what we're going to do with our lives. We want to be our best selves. Number one, where everything in our life is bigger, prettier, faster, and stronger. You may even have people asking you, what are you going to do in the new year? And there's nothing wrong with having goals or trying to aim for such goals. However, it is a mistake for any of us to decide what we want to do before we first decide the kind of person that God wants us to be. Because our character, integrity, and values, or lack of it, determines the kind of person we become. Because character determines our legacy, not our accomplishments, not our possessions, not even our status. And integrity and character can only be developed by an intimate relationship with God, because God is the only one who changes us from the inside out. And if God is absent from that process, then our character development is only cosmetic, because character is like a tree. It takes time to nurture and to grow and never develops overnight. In fact, true character and true character development takes a lifetime to build. And it's not cosmetic. And if we keep putting our efforts in all the things that we're going to do and accomplish, but we don't spend any time with God first in intimate relationship with a posture of obedience and surrender, then what will happen is that we may be successful in accomplishing many things, and we may get to many places, but we won't have the character or the integrity to manage such things well, or to keep us in those places. And if we don't take time to decide the kind of person we want to be for God now, then someone or something else will decide that for us. The culture will decide that for us. A boss will decide that for us. A family member, a friend, peer pressure, comparison, and even social media will decide who we will become. The environments that we find ourselves in and the situations that we face will force us to become someone we never thought we would be. And the reality is that if we don't take time now to develop our character with God, before we decide to do anything this year and for the rest of our lives and even for eternity, then even though we may accomplish great things, our lack of character will have consequences both here on earth and even into eternity. See, our character will determine whether someone will want to know us or even want to stay friends with us. Our character will make or break every single one of our relationships, including our marriage and even our parenting. Our character will determine whether we have peace of mind or wrestle with constant guilt. Our character will determine whether we can be open and transparent with God and with those around us, or if we will have to keep lying and hiding. Because we're all familiar with that person who has status or who has done great things or who has a great career. And they were at the top of their career and their industry. They had lots of possessions and lots of influence. But because of their lack of character, they ended up making decisions that destroyed them, destroyed those around them, and destroyed everything that they spent years building. Because having godly character matters. But not everyone has it. We read in the news about scholars who have been inducted into Ivy League universities later to discover that they've been cheating on their academics in order to get there. Politicians who have been in office for years, but who are caught in scandals, political lies, and adultery and embezzlement of taxpayer funds. Sports stars who we look up to, who break all sorts of records and win championships later to find out that they were involved in doping, spousal abuse, and even murder. Celebrities who have talent and top the number one charts, but get involved in drugs and partying, which only destroys their reputation and their influence. People who we once idolized, but now leave us with a bad taste in our mouths because of what they did. In fact, when we think of that person, we don't think of any of their accomplishments. Rather, all we think about is what they did that was so despicable. And to bring it closer to home, we have all personally done things that we look back on and make us think, what was I thinking? And that is why it is always a mistake for any of us to decide what we want to do before we first decide the kind of person that God wants us to be. To decide where God will be in our lives. Will he lead our lives? Or be only taken out when we are in need or in trouble? And is deciding what values we are going to have. And if those values are consistent with God's values, it is deciding what our limits and our boundaries are going to be. It is deciding how we're going to treat people and even treat ourselves when we are by ourselves. It is deciding how we will react when things don't turn out the way that we expect. It is deciding how we will use our resources. Will it be just for ourselves or for the eternal benefit of others. It is first deciding who we will become, because who we are will determine how we live, and it will determine the decisions that we make. So how do we decide to be this kind of person that God wants for us to be in the midst of all the pressures of life? Well, God gives us a great picture of someone who pre-decided from a very young age what kind of person he wanted to be for God before he did anything. And this person's name was Daniel, who we read about in the Old Testament of the Bible. Daniel was a Jewish teenager living in the nation of Judah. And during that time, the nation of Babylon was a superpower who was invading and bringing fear to all of the surrounding nations. Babylon represented all that was evil in the world. They exploited the poor, the weak, females, foreigners. And in around 605 BC, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon invaded Judah and decimated its capital, Jerusalem, leaving it in ruins. The Babylonians killed many, but took the best and the brightest Jews into captivity, exiling them from Judah back to Babylon. By doing this, the Babylonians would assimilate the Jews to Babylonian life. This included forcing upon the Jews their values, behaviors, and beliefs in hopes that in a couple of generations, the Jews would culturally assimilate to Babylonian life and even advance Babylonian causes. Among those Jews exiled was Daniel, who was now forced to serve under King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel spent the rest of his life serving in Babylon, as he was assigned as an administrator under the reign of three different kings. However, Daniel had made the choice ever since he was a teenager that despite whatever indoctrination and assimilation was happening, that he was going to love and serve God with his decisions and with his life, regardless of the consequences that he faced. He did not give into the pressures from an ungodly society. Rather, he trusted that God would always take care of him. Well, it came to a point in time when the Medes combined with the Persians to conquer Babylon, and Darius became the new king in charge. And as this historical account unfolds, Daniel is now serving in King Darius's administration, and Daniel is estimated to be about 80 years old. We pick up the account here. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, the three administrators, so that the king might not suffer loss. So upon becoming king, Darius split Babylon into 120 provinces, similar to what we would call states. He then appoints 120 satraps, which are also known as mayors, over such provinces. He appointed three administrators, also known as governors, who would oversee these 120 satraps, who would ultimately report to King Darius and be accountable to the king as to what was happening in any of his provinces. While Daniel was chosen by King Darius to be one of those governors. The account continues. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. See, there are many people in high leadership or even in politics But out of all of the others in Darius's kingdom, Daniel was a man that distinguished himself from the rest due to his integrity and his character. There was no comparison between Daniel and all of his peers. And the reason why Daniel was able to live like this is because of his constant connection with God. And because he was someone that watched his life very carefully. He was someone who wanted to please, honor, and reflect God to others. Daniel was not careless in how he acted or how he lived, and he didn't do anything that would cause him or anyone else to stumble. Daniel lived in a way that was pleasing to God, which kept him away from any sort of moral failure or compromise. But the thing we must understand is that becoming like this and having such qualities is not something that can be faked or something that one develops overnight. In fact, this type of godly character is developed with time in prayer, time studying what God says, time confessing and repenting, time serving God, time being obedient to God, time surrendering to God. And there are no shortcuts to this, because intimacy with God can only develop in a relationship with God by spending time together with God. Daniel spent time with God ever since he was a child, throughout his teenage years, and now into his 80s. So this is years of walking with God and trusting in God through everything. And through that time, Daniel learned to understand the love that God had for him and the love that he had for God. It was time that forged Daniel's heart to the heart of God, and it was through the consistency of listening to God, surrendering to God, and obeying God that shaped Daniel's faith, shaped his character, and shaped his impact. Daniel put in the hours with God, and this distinguished him from everyone else in the kingdom because his godly character was now evident to those watching. See, many people want instant faith, where it takes no time or sacrifice on their end. But yet, they want intimacy with God. They want a faith that moves mountains. They want God's blessings and for him to use them in mighty ways. But people who don't spend time with God don't actually know God personally. They say they love God, but they don't actually understand God's love for them, which is why they don't love God with their schedules, their time, their talents, their finances, and even their resources. God loves them wholeheartedly, but they don't reciprocate that love back to him. But Daniel was very different. We see early on in Daniel's life how to Daniel and his friends, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God had given Daniel certain gifts, but it was in spending time with God that such gifts and character were developed in Daniel. Because of Daniel's godly character, he didn't use those gifts in order to benefit himself or to serve his own purposes. Instead, Daniel used it for God's purposes, knowing that God was the one who gave it to him. And we can start to think, well, if I had talents and if I had abilities like Daniel, I would be able to distinguish myself for God as well. But here's the one thing we all need to understand. We all have been given talents and qualities that are exceptional. Many of you can probably do something that the person next to you can't. Some of you are very intellectual. Others are great at business. Some of you are athletic or even artistic. Some of you work well with your hands, and some of you are creative and very funny. God has given each of us abilities, but Daniel had a distinguishing factor. See, qualities and abilities can get you noticed. It can get you set apart from the rest of the crowd, or even can get you into leadership positions. But this was what set Daniel apart from everyone else. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. See, anybody can be smart, be in a leadership position, or even do great things. You can even be at the top of your game and make lots and lots of money. But are you someone of godly character? It's good to have exceptional qualities, but are you blameless, whereby people looking in from the outside can find no dirt on you? Daniel had exceptional qualities just like anybody else. But the defining factor that distinguished him from everyone else was that he lived a life that was above reproach. He lived in a way that reflected the way God would live. And as a result, Daniel was considered trustworthy by his superiors, and absolutely no corruption was found in him by anyone, even his political enemies. See, these other administrators were envious of Daniel because the king was going to make Daniel the second in command over the whole kingdom. They didn't want that. And so they did whatever they could to find dirt on Daniel to use against him and taint his reputation. But yet, they couldn't find anything. There were no secrets with Daniel, no skeletons in the closet, no affairs, no embezzlement, no deceit, no lying, no cover-ups. So what about you? Many of you are planning to do a lot of things this year, but have you made a plan on how you are going to develop godly character in your life? Because that is way more important than what you will ever do. Are there secrets in your life, on your internet surfing history, the way you spend your money, the way you treat people in private? If people were to try to find dirt on you, would they be able to? If interviewed, would your family members, coworkers, and neighbors say that you are trustworthy? Would they say there is no corruption in you, no agenda, no negligence? Would they say that you are blameless, that you tell the truth and do what is right? Would they say that you don't gossip, that you keep your word, that you lend money to those in need without any interest, or you don't take advantage of people for financial gain? Would they say that when you do wrong, that you admit it and you take the steps to make things right? See, godly character answers yes to all those questions. And that was the kind of person Daniel was. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." Daniel was such a faithful man that those who looked for a flaw in his actions or his character came up empty. There was absolutely no corruption in his life, no duplicity whatsoever. His private and his public life was one and the same. And we read that the only way they could try to trap Daniel was if it had to do with the God that he worshiped. Daniel was distinguished from the rest because he allowed God to work on him first. Daniel took time now to develop that relationship with God now, so that when it came time to being in positions of power or even making tough decisions, Daniel was guided by his godly values that helped guide him in the things that he did. Daniel was in a prominent leadership position, and he had the character to match. And how was Daniel able to develop this godly character? We read that three times a day, he, meaning Daniel, got down on his knees and prayed to God, just as he had done before. Daniel served an audience of one. Yes, he was serving King Darius, but the real king that he served was God himself, who was with Daniel and who sees everything that Daniel does. And three times a day, Daniel was in the habit of seeking God. And not only did he seek God, but even his posture was one of surrender and obedience to God. He was on his knees in humility. Daniel was pleading with God and listening to God. See, for many, we may only talk to God when something goes wrong or when we are in trouble. But here, scripture says that Daniel had this posture of prayer three times a day, every day. It was through this time that allowed Daniel to understand God's love for him as he let God lead him. You know, oftentimes when someone doesn't spend time with God and allow God to lead them, they usually end up feeling stressed out, discontent, and worried as they become more controlling with whatever they're facing. Well, Daniel had this routine because he loved God and loved spending time with God. Daniel didn't just seek God to get something from God, but it was during that time that God shaped Daniel to look more like him. And why should we aim to live like Daniel? Because of what God has ultimately done for us. See, it is in our time with God that we realize how selfish and sinful we really are and how we actually deserve judgment and separation from God because of our sins. But it is also in our time with God that he reveals to us how much we are actually loved by him as well. It is because he loves us, even in our sin, that God would ultimately send Jesus to reconcile us back to him and to redeem us so that we can have new life in him. We didn't deserve any of it. In fact, we deserved eternal separation from God because of what we have done to God and what we have done to others. But it is by his grace that he has chosen to save us and to give us new life. And when someone saves you, especially when someone saves you from eternal death, by taking on your sin and imparting on us his righteousness, we want to start honoring that person with our life because we went from death to now life. And this comes in the form of surrendering our wills over to the one who has loved us, and who has saved us and redeemed us. And when we surrender all areas of our life to God, you know what happens? His Spirit will impact those areas that we surrender as His righteousness starts to shine in our life. This process makes us look more like Jesus, and it impacts our character, it impacts our decisions, and it impacts how we live. But this only happens when we can understand God's love for us and what He has done for us as we learn to follow Him and become more like Him. And this change of character not only benefits us, but even those around us. So how do we develop a godly character like Daniel? First, if you don't know God, then it is accepting Him into your life. It is understanding what He has done for you and choosing to surrender your life to His so He can live His life through yours. Because remember, integrity and character can only be developed by an intimate relationship with God. Because God is the only one who permanently changes us from the inside out. In a few minutes, I will give you that opportunity to start that relationship with Jesus if you haven't already done so. And for those of you who do have a relationship with Jesus, it is not just about having a relationship, but maturing in that relationship with Him, so that your life and your decisions reflect more of God every day. It reflects the person that you follow, which means it's developing a plan as to what your time with God is going to look like this year. Last week, we talked about how if we don't have a plan, it doesn't just naturally happen. People don't drift towards holiness, but they have a plan when it comes to growing and maturing in their faith. And so it is going back to those questions that we started thinking about last week. What is your plan to spend time with God daily and even multiple times throughout the day? One practice that I encourage you to do is to put actual appointments in your daily calendar where you have time with God. Then, it is looking at those appointments as real appointments for you to pray, for you to be in silence, for you to talk with God and allow God to examine and shape you. Then, what is your plan to read through Scripture daily? A lot of times people say, you know, I want to hear from God, and the best way to hear from God is by reading through Scripture. So in those appointment times with God, daily, as a way for you to have deeper intimacy with Him, why don't you pick a reading plan on the YouVersion Bible app, or read a chapter a day through Scripture as you put yourself in a position to hear from God, spend time with God, and respond to what He has to say. Then, what is your plan to consistently go to church? We go to church to worship God with others, to be a part of the greater body of God's people, the family of God. We need others who can walk with us and who can help us to become the people that God created us to be. We need friends and others who can point out our blind spots. That is why church cannot be optional. It is a necessity, because we're always better together, and we learn to become our best when we are together. Don't just come to church when it's convenient. Come to church because you have a commitment to God. And church is one of the avenues that God uses to allow us to learn how to be a part of the family of God with others. As we gain perspective for our lives, and as we gain perspective for why we are here on earth. Then, what is your plan to serve God this year? See, it's not just coming to church, but it's being the church. God has created all of us for mission and to help bring healing, salvation, and restoration to this world. So how can you use your abilities and your gifts to serve the people around you? And it is in serving others that God creates a heart in us like His. As we love Him more and as we start to love others more as well. There is so much work to be done in this city, and we want you to be a part of that as you are on mission with God, with us. Then, what is your plan to use your resources for God's purposes this year? That develops in us love and generosity towards others with what God has entrusted to us. You know, ministry costs money, and we are able to do many, many of the things for the people of Malden and point them towards God because of people's financial giving towards an eternal purpose that is in changing lives and eternities. We want to invite you to be a part of that with your finances as well. If all of us consistently practice each of these things, we will learn to grow to be one with God, grow to be closer to others, and we will grow in our godly impact on this world. And by taking such steps on our end, God uses such avenues to now draw us closer to Him. And you know what else He does? He uses all these things to shape our character, to reflect His in the process. Now, many people think that the example of someone like Daniel is very intimidating because he almost sounds perfect. But the reality is that Daniel was just a regular person like you and me. But he was surrendered and he was obedient to God. And God shined through that. See, Daniel lived a life where he was blameless, meaning that you couldn't find fault with him. See, being blameless does not mean being perfect, because none of us are perfect except for Jesus. But being blameless means that when you say you're going to do something, that you actually do it. It means that when you are wrong, you are quick to admit the wrong and take steps to fix the wrong. A blameless person is loving and humble. They're not easily offended, but are quick to offer grace and forgiveness because they know that God has already given them grace and forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you are sinless, but it does mean that you are blameless and living in a way whereby no one can find fault with you. And when we live this way, we shine for Jesus to all of those around us. In fact, later we read in this account that those same administrators that wanted to find fault with Daniel would set him up so that he would be found guilty because of his worship to his God. And as a result, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions to be killed. However, God would miraculously deliver Daniel from this lion's den. And as a result of witnessing this event and seeing Daniel's godly character and trust in his God, no matter what happened to him, we learn that this impacts King Darius, who is a pagan in a profound way when he writes the following: I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. Imagine. Imagine what it could look like if your life of following Jesus could change the destinies and eternities of the people around you. Imagine that because you followed Jesus, it not only impacted you, but it impacted the people around you with how they made decisions, how they did relationships, how they handled conflict, how they navigated their marriage, their parenting, or the way that they lived. Imagine that by being a person of integrity and of character, how many others would find salvation in Jesus. Imagine if one day you were in heaven and people started tapping you on the shoulder, sharing that they were in heaven because you chose to follow Jesus faithfully. Isn't that the best thing to aim for? That is what I am aiming for this year. And I hope that we all can aim for that as a church together, to be people of character, to be people that represents the God that we choose to follow. And it is surrendering to God so that he can transform us as he uses our lives to transform the communities that we are a part of. Let's do that with him, and let's do that together in community. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, without you, we are left in our sin and ruin. Thank you that you have saved us. So God, we do the hard work of learning your ways, of following you so that we can walk in your ways. And if we are going to do anything this year, may we aim to be like you in all areas of our life. May we surrender to you so that your spirit can change us. And may you also use our lives like that of Daniel, so that the lives and kingdoms can be transformed for you. You know, as we continue in prayer, as I mentioned earlier, in order for any of us to have character that looks like God, it first starts with accepting him into our lives to be our God so that he can lead us. So if you don't have a relationship with God and you want one, this is the best time to make that decision. If you want to experience his love and hope, if you want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.